This podcast is supported by Squarespace, the easiest way to create a beautiful, responsive website. For a free 14-day trial, visit squarespace.com. Welcome to Chips with Everything, the podcast from The Guardian about what happens when technology and people collide. I'm Leigh Alexander. I'm so excited today to be joined by a friend of mine, special guest, co-star, presenter, kind of laying it on a little bit thick, mostly because I'm going to force her to do the dirty work of introducing herself. Say hi, Lena.
Hi. Hello. My name's Elena Cressy, and I'm a social editor here at The Guardian.
So that means like tweeting articles out or doing social media around The Guardian content, stuff like that?
Yeah, stuff like that. I also find memes and explain them to an increasingly baffled Guardian newsroom.
I know, yeah. Internet culture can kind of be fast-moving and confusing, but I feel like if folks are listening to this show, then they're interested and they want to know more, which is one of the reasons that I asked you to be on with me today, because this episode is about a new and particularly interesting facet of social media where it intersects with politics. And I couldn't think of anyone better suited to come on and help us out.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad I'm considered such an expert.
Yeah.
Well, today's show is great. It's about social media and digital media and how they're being used in the 2016 presidential race to attract voters, increase voter turnout, and generally make the presidential race more interesting to the average person who isn't completely tuned into politics.
Hello, this is Kenneth.
Hello, Kenneth.
Hey, how's it going?
That is Kenneth Pennington. He's the digital director of the Bernie Sanders 2016 presidential campaign. He probably has one of the absolutely most cool jobs in the country right now.
100%. His role is pretty much to build the campaign strategy surrounding digital and social media. Everything from Twitter to Facebook to Instagram to Snapchat. Even Reddit.
Right. So it would be maybe deciding what quote from Bernie will go up next Tuesday on Twitter or figuring out how to capture the senator's next rally on Snapchat. They even use some avenues that you might not even initially think of. Those listening might also be familiar with Slack, which is a sort of online chat app people use for conferencing.
I can't believe they're on there, too.
Yeah, I know. They probably have, I don't know, maybe group meetings in there. People come in and participate virtually, probably stuff like that. So about Kenneth, his life in the digital space began when he was just 12 years old. He built his dad a website to sell books on.
Coded my first website when I was about 12, when my dad, who's a teacher who wrote a bunch of educational books, wanted to self-publish and sell some of his books on the internet. And back then I had dial-up, and we upgraded to cable internet that summer, and I learned how to program and build my dad a website, and the rest is history.
I feel like every good story about someone getting involved in technology and the internet begins with something random like that. Like maybe needing to look up a lot of bad Harry Potter fan fiction.
Oh, Elena, is that something you did?
Hey, we all make our mistakes. So, Kenneth is 12. He built his dad a website. I don't think he was wasting his time on fanfiction.net.
I mean, I don't know if it's a waste, but yeah, he probably wasn't on there.
True. And then, a few years later, while he's in high school, he finds a really cool opportunity. He gets accepted into the United States House of Representatives PAGE program in Washington, D.C., which is sort of a very high-level internship for young people to work alongside the country's lawmakers. In the program, Kenneth and the other PAGEs get to work on the floor of the House with a member of Congress. It's a very, very cool experience for a teenager, offering them a lot of exposure to the American political process, and often a track towards a very good career.
Right, so Kenneth is helping out on the House floor, and he and the other PAGEs are attending the school up in the attic of the Library of Congress, and he's generally just getting up to really exciting political things while in D.C. You know, it's things that most teenagers wouldn't dream of doing.
Or want to be doing.
Yeah, I think when I was that age, I was driving around in circles listening to angry music on the car radio. Take that, Mom and Dad. So anyway, after Kenneth left the Page program and finished school, he realized there was a way for him to utilize both of these passions, both being tech and politics, and to work toward making a sort of difference in the world.
And I just, you know, became really interested in politics and public policy at that time. And so that was kind of what generated that passion within me. And then I've been able to fuse those two things together, the tech side and the politics side, in this current job, which is why I feel so fortunate.
Brothers and sisters, that is the nation we can build together.
So, fast forward to 2015, and Kenneth finds himself working as the digital director of Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, a role that is a brilliant hybrid between technology and politics.
And we're in a time now, I think you'll probably agree, where the fusion of those two areas is more possible than ever. It seems like this election is very unique in that social media and online discussion are playing a larger role than ever. That just seems to be the new reality that we live in now.
Right. I think it's hugely important for the campaign. When you look at the way that we've been able to raise money online to raise, you know, more than $215 million, we're close to 8 million contributions now from individuals giving, you know, just $27 at a time. That's only made possible through the internet. And so, you know, it's obviously hugely important in this campaign season. And also you have, you know, social media where we're recruiting a lot of our volunteers who are making those phone calls and sending text messages and knocking on doors to try to win the votes that Bernie needs to win this race. And so, yeah, it's increasingly become a necessity for campaigns to have a serious digital operation to reach as many voters as they can.
Absolutely. And so that means that you're working across Twitter, you're working across Facebook, you're using email and combining several different tactics to sort of replace the traditional bell ringing with digital canvassing.
That's right. And we've also invested heavily time-wise in building communities around chat channels on Slack, and we've been using Reddit to build communities as well. And those have been very fruitful in terms of, recruiting volunteers and recruiting donors. And so those have been very fruitful efforts as well.
Slack and Reddit, as we're saying, it's not necessarily what you'd think of first, but these are modern ways of getting young people involved in the political process.
Yeah, it might just sound like Kenneth and his team are just covering their bases by getting involved in all these social networks and on all these digital platforms, but it's pretty clear that they actually have a hugely detailed strategy outlined for every one of these platforms that they're active on. They're calculating who's on the platform or how old those users are and how they like to consume their digital content and whether they prefer photos to videos or vice versa and much, much more. There's a lot involved.
So we start the day by kind of determining what the message is going to be for the day. Of course, Senator Sanders, the things that are important to him, his core kind of message is taking on what he views as a corrupt political system that holds in place a rigged economy that's sending most of the new wealth to the top 1%. And so that's kind of our general message for the day. And, you know, we might take that to Facebook, and that might manifest itself in a quote from the senator. We've recognized that over time that people really do want to hear from the senator himself on social media. So they want to interact for his words. They want to see his speeches more than they want to see what a staffer has to say. So we try to be true to, you know, what the senator has said on that day. We try to follow his schedule around to put up pictures of what he's doing, to try to bring attention to the messages that he's delivering over the course of a day. And we'll do that on various networks, from Twitter to Reddit to Facebook to Instagram, where we have a significant following. And we just try to kind of, you know, relay his message as he delivers it throughout the day on the campaign trail.
And I think that As the campaign's gone on, Kenneth and Bernie and the whole team have realized just how important their involvement in the digital and social media spaces really is. In the presidential race, the online space has become this sort of equalizing arena for candidates across the board. Each campaign has a social team that is able to post whatever they want, whenever they want, without any kind of interruption or interference. They can just access and engage with their constituency directly in a whole new way.
Definitely. Anyone who has access to the platform can use the platform. And if the candidate is on the platform, then his or her constituency gets to feel a sense of connection to the candidate. And in the case of Bernie Sanders, it seems like there's a sense of harmony between the very nature of digital media and some of the pillars of the ways that the senator is trying to campaign.
Absolutely. If you look at Bernie Sanders as an outside candidate, an insurgent, if you will, someone who wasn't being taken seriously by some of your mainstream media outlets, digital interactions are all the more important. And so Bernie Sanders started with around 40,000 followers on his Twitter account when we started this campaign. Hillary Clinton started with more than 3.5 million followers. So social media is an opportunity to when some of the traditional media channels are not going to pay as much attention to you, social media is an opportunity to get your name out there, share your values, and share your vision for the country in a way that you can access people regardless of whether or not, you're on NBC News every night or CBS News every night. And Facebook and Twitter and other channels like that are really great equalizers. And that's why they're so important to our campaign.
For the record, and I just checked before this, Bernie's Twitter account, at Bernie Sanders, now has more than 2.36 million followers. That's over 2.3 million new followers in just 1 year, due largely in part to the efforts of Kenneth and his team.
It's absolutely a fantastic achievement by any metric. And those 2.36 million followers, plus all of the Facebook fans, the Redditors, the Snapchat viewers, they are now all sort of part of this larger community. And in turn, they are an essential part of the campaign.
Absolutely. And in many ways, whereas a traditional campaign relies on, canvassing, knocking on doors, and phone banking in order to get the word out about their candidate, we're trying to do those things as well because they're incredibly important and our field operation is incredibly important to our success. But we're also trying to get people to spread the word on social media, to share with their friends, to send text messages to their friends or call their friends, to send an email to their friends about something that Bernie's doing. We try to encourage those kind of interactions because in many ways, social media is the new door knock of the 21st century here. And so it's just such a critical thing for our campaign.
And speaking of critical components of the campaign, there's one hashtag that's become such an embedded, crucial part of the Bernie brand.
Hashtag feel the burn.
That's the one. The story from Kenneth about how the now famous hashtag was created when we come back.
This Guardian podcast is supported by Squarespace. Whether the story behind your passion is out of the ordinary or simply out of this world, you should tell it in an unforgettable way. Squarespace helps you do just that, with the only websites designed to showcase what makes your passion worth pursuing. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com/guardian.
Chips with Everything listeners, if you're enjoying the show that you're listening to right now, then I think you'll like another one of The Guardian's great other podcasts called The Dailies. It's produced by Rowan Slaney, who is sat next to me right now.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Rowan. Can you tell me a bit about your show, please?
I sure can. The Dailies is a daily-ish roundup of movie news and reviews from our very own Guardian film team.
And where can we find The Dailies?
You can find The Dailies on the website, on iTunes, and all other audio platforms. Just search The Dailies.
Hey, welcome back. It's me, Lee Alexander, and my colleague, Elena Cressy, and today we're talking about the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign and how it's strategically using social and digital media to get Bernie the Democratic nomination and, they're hoping, the White House.
But digital strategy can't always be about focus groups. And the campaign's lead-off hashtag, Feel the Burn, illustrates just that.
So let's talk about a certain hashtag. I think in the past, I imagine that political slogans were workshopped by campaign people around a table and then put on a poster and things like that. But the Feel the Burn hashtag that Bernie supporters used was something that your team sort of generated spontaneously and caught fire on its own. Could you tell us the story behind that?
Yeah, so not many people know this. So you're getting the exclusive first story of how Feel the Burn hashtag was actually first tweeted out. So I figured out about a week before the senator announced his candidacy that he was going to run for president. And I decided, you know, to confide in some of my friends that he was going to run and I was going to be a part of the campaign. And in our excitement, one of my friends, John, came up with the term Feel the Burn. And I thought it was hilarious. So the next week down the line, I was hanging out with another group of friends, and I passed it along to them, giving no credit to John, of course. And my friend Steven was the first person to tweet out hashtag Feel the Burn in April. It was actually right after Hillary Clinton had launched her campaign and right before Senator Sanders had launched his. And the rest is history. The hashtag kind of took off from there. People thought it was funny, and kind of, you know, solidarity with the campaign and with the values that Bernie Sanders is running on, and with the kind of community that we've built around the campaign as well.
That's amazing that one of the most frequently used hashtags probably of the last year was just thought up by Kenneth's friend John, and then they just sort of ran with it.
And I think that's so representative of how spontaneous the social media space can be and how Kenneth and his team have utilized that.
Absolutely. I think it's just kind of amazing that something so galvanizing could have been generated so spontaneously. And it's really just a sign of the times we're living in on social media. One of the ways that young people in particular like to express themselves online is by creating memes, you know, little macros and in-jokes and,
sure.
and images. And there are some massive meme communities that are very dedicated to Bernie. For example, my personal favorite, the Bernie Sanders Dank Meme Stash, has close to 500,000 members. Are you familiar with the Dank Meme Stash?
I am familiar with the Dank Meme Stash. I'm glad you asked me about it. We're big fans here at the office.
So my favorite is this Royal Dansk Cookies meme. Len, do you know the cookies?
I don't know about this meme. I mean, I'm mainly in the Jeremy Corbyn meme. So,
but you know about these cookies that come in a tin, right? The butter cookies?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you open them and you hope that there's cookies inside, but a lot of people will recycle these tins and keep them in the garage or in some kind of storage area and use it to put like sewing equipment or like my dad put like nuts and bolts from power tools in there. So there's this meme and it's a picture of the tin of cookies and Bernie's actually has cookies in his and Hillary's has sewing equipment. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like it's this single image that distills like kind of the memory of what it's like to want a cookie and find sewing equipment. And like fans of Bernie have associated that feeling with Senator Clinton and the feeling of finding cookies with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, I get a real kick out of the kind of character that people have built up around Senator Sanders. As someone who's worked for him for a few years now, he's an incredible boss and a great person to work for, and you know, a visionary and all those things. But I'm not sure that he's as cool as people are making him out to be.
He's not like a dank meme type bro.
I'm not so sure. But yeah, I do get a kick out of people kind of, you know, poking fun there. And I think it's kind of funny how we've built up this character of Bernie Sanders as a really cool teenager, basically, when the reality is he is, you know, just your average old guy. But he's he's got a message that's attracting a lot of young people, which is what's really important at the end of the day.
Well, dank meme bro or not. Also, I can't believe I just got to say that on a Guardian podcast. Kenneth and his team are doing a solid job at rounding up people of all ages, and young people in particular, and getting them involved and actually really excited about the political process. And despite the challenges they faced, I think they've really set the social digital strategy bar quite high for future political campaigns.
Yeah, and you know, managing the tenor of conversation is a challenge across all media online right now, and should be interesting for folks who will surely do jobs like yours in the years to come, because you know the role of social media in election is here to stay, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah, and I mean, I've been actually surprised at the level at which you know, the average Twitter egg with 3 followers has been able to influence the kind of media narrative about what's going on the internet.
Oh, the Twitter eggs with 3 followers are the worst ones, yeah.
Those are the worst ones, yeah.
And that is all from us this week. You can let us know what you thought of this episode by emailing us at podcasts@theguardian.com, or you can tweet us at Guardian Audio. I'm Leah Alexander, and my co-host for this show was Elena Cressy. Thank you so much for coming on, Len. We have to do this more often.
You know, I'm just one floor down from you guys. You're not going to be able to get rid of me.
Cool. Well, I will come down and try to find you. I am on Twitter at Leah Alexander, and Elena is at Elena Cressy, C-R-E-S-C-I. This episode of Chips with Everything was produced and mixed by Matt Shore. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt S-H-R-E. And by the way, if you have a weird or interesting story about how technology has worked its way into your life, you should email him. Just send a note to podcasts@theguardian.com with the subject Chips, and he'll be in touch. You can subscribe to the podcast and to all of The Guardian's other great shows on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app. Oh, and please don't forget to give the show a quick review and rating on iTunes. We'd super appreciate it, and it helps people who don't know about the show yet to find us. Thanks so much again for listening, and we can't wait to catch you again next week.
The Guardian has always been a community of readers, journalists, and contributors. And now our live events are bringing these people together.
The Guardian events are The Guardian at its best, which is a two-way conversation involving the reader and having a real, genuine, thriving debate.
Could be anything from food and culture, arts, to politics, to foreign affairs.
To see what events are coming up and to check out the benefits of membership, go to members.theguardian.com. Also, subscribe to the Guardian Live podcast. You can do so on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other reputable audio platforms.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.